getting axed, sacked, canned, downsized, given the old heave-ho. Whatever you call it, getting fired isn't fun, but as time goes by, it can be funny. Actress and writer Annabelle Gurwitch had a particularly painful firing experience. She got fired by one of her heroes. But when Gurwitch began telling people about it, she realized she was not alone. Being fired is an experience shared by millions. Now Gurwitch has a new job, collecting stories about being fired from friends and colleagues. Many of them work in the entertainment business, where being fired is a cottage industry. The result is a new book called Fired: Tales of the Canned, Canceled, Downsized, and Dismissed. Later in the program, London's National Portrait Gallery is displaying 6 portraits of William Shakespeare, but which one is real? Plus, British journalist Phil Sands tells his story of being kidnapped by insurgents in Iraq and later rescued by the American military. But first, getting fired. Call us with your experience. Did you see it coming? Did it lead to better things? Did you maybe deserve it? Do you still hold a grudge? Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255, and our email address is talk@npr.org. Annabelle Gurwitch, who you may know from her days as co-host of Dinner and a Movie or as a commentator for NPR's Day-to-Day program, joins us from our bureau in New York. Thanks for being with us, Annabelle.
Oh, thanks, Lynn. Thanks for having me. You know, actually, there are so many great new euphemisms for being fired. My current favorite is decruited.
I saw that in your book, and I was going to ask you about that. I love that, decruited. And where did you find that? I never heard of it before.
Well, you know, as part of my research, I actually went across the country. I went and talked to downsizers. I went into job fairs. I took outplacement services myself. I met with the downsized and human resource people who do the firing. And, you know, they've liked to come up with new euphemisms. Another one is outplaced, as if you're going somewhere except home to go start drinking. But no, you've been outplaced.
No, but one that I like that I don't think you mentioned was being made redundant. That's another one.
That's a rather British phrase. Yes. Or as in the theater world in England, what you would say is you've been made at liberty. Which sounds smashing and exciting and entertaining and not like you're desperately out there trying to get another job.
And you also, at the beginning of the book, you list some very Hollywood ways of firing people. What are some of those? Because they were pretty funny, too.
Well, you know, you don't often hear the words "you're fired" when you work in show business. What I heard when I was fired by Woody Allen was they were going in a different direction, which means they hated you. They want to go in the direction away from you. But it's a nice way of saying it. Often you'll hear the director needs to rethink the role. We're going a different direction. Once someone I know was told, that's all we'll be needing from you. And that was the exit words. Actually, I have a story in my book where Bob Saget, who is a very well-known comedian from Full House, he was doing a morning TV show with 3 hosts. And one day he got there and there were only 2 chairs in the studio.
That's cruel.
And the chair that said Bob was just gone. And they said, Bob, I think we need to talk. But, you know.
And did he not see that coming? He didn't see that coming at all?
No, he did not see that coming. But the crazy thing is it really worked out for the best. And this is sometimes what happens when you're fired. You don't know, but there may be something better waiting for you. At the very same time, Bob had been offered the show Full House that he had to turn down because he was employed at the morning show. Well, after he was fired, he called up. They said, oh, gosh, we're so glad you're available. Come on out. We want you for this job. He could never have done that job if he hadn't gotten fired. That really led to his big success in television. The funny thing is, of course, he was fired as the host of a morning show on Full House. He played the host of a morning show. So
it's that old saying, when one door closes, another one opens, which we all hope to be true.
You know, I hate those cliches, but I actually do think, and my own experience is that it is true. You know, they say also, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I, you know, it sounds cliche, but in a lot of these stories, it's really true. And, you know, one of the reasons I started collecting stories for the book was I wanted to give people something that I didn't have. When I got fired, I was so depressed.
You know, talk about yours, because we haven't yet. And you let slip. I was trying to sneak it in there, but your hero was Woody Allen. And tell us what happened to you.
Well, Lynn, when you're fired by a cultural icon... It can be very depressing because, you know, they're so big and that you can't get away from them. Their movies, their writing, their visage is everywhere. And sometimes it just doesn't work out. And in this case, which is very common, as I found out, because it was only my first experience being fired, you know, a director can change their mind. But when it's Woody Allen, you know, I was haunted by his face. And everywhere I went at the time I was fired, I sort of saw his face or a movie retrospective playing somewhere. But it was a great lesson for me in many ways. And one thing was, you know, when you're fired by someone who's so big, it was very freeing. I thought, what worse could happen in my profession? This is the worst thing in my profession. And actually, in the jobs that I've gone on to do since then, I feel free because I've been fired by Woody Allen.
Yeah, you know, I was fired from the Magic Pan as a waitress. That does not,
you were fired.
It does not compare at all.
What did you do with the Magic Pan?
I was many of the people in your book are aspiring or now successful people in showbiz. I was an aspiring actress at the time. So, of course, desperate for a job of any kind. And it was in New York and they were opening a new store and they filled it with out of work actresses and singers and dancers and all desperate for, you know, some kind of income. Mm-hmm. And they had hired too many people. The store wasn't that successful.
So
as they realized how many they really need, they started letting go of all the sort of desperate, you know,
It's funny.
You know, actors and actresses out there.
You're right, Lynn. A lot of people in my book did all kinds of jobs before they were the people that you know them on TV, like Patty Heaton was fired as a crossing guard. You know, I guess she just didn't guard that cross so well. A lot of times people who are fired in professions, like in the service industry, like waiters, they get to work and their name just isn't on the schedule. Which is very cruel.
That's really bad.
You know, I do want to mention in the book, I do have these well-known people. I also have included historical people. You know, Vincent van Gogh was fired from a job at an art gallery. And I've tried to give you a perspective through history. And former Labor Secretary Robert Reich was actually fired from the Solicitor General's office in the Reagan administration. So I really tried to cover a lot of professions. And I even have published letters that people wrote to me at NPR from listeners who have been fired from just across the board. Someone got a call. They were on their honeymoon in Disneyland, and they got fired.
Aww.
And, you know, it's just it really runs the gambit from fired from being the star of your own sitcom, of your own name, that has your name on it, to being fired from the Solicitor General's office. And, in fact, Robert Reich had a quote, and I really love it. He says, "All great success comes from failure, and being fired is part of the growth process." I mean, if we're not getting fired, what are we doing?
I have to ask you one other thing about your own experience.
Yes.
Did Woody Allen do it in person?
No. As often happens in show business and in many other fields, well, basically, he did tell me that he thought my performance was terrible, and I could tell it wasn't going well. What his assessment of my performance was, "What you're doing is terrible, none of it good, all of it bad, don't ever do that again, not even in another play." So I had a clue it wasn't going so well. And frankly, I actually felt like I wasn't so great in this part. And you know what? It was actually very freeing for me now to say, hey, I might have sucked at that job, because sometimes you're in the wrong job. But I got a call later which said, "We're going in a different direction," which I knew meant we're going as far away from you as possible. But you know, the funny thing is, Lynn, that when you're fired, you, I think, as the person who's been fired, remembers everything about the way you were fired, what was said to you, where you were when you got that call. But the person firing you, I don't think
forgotten you completely, right?
Exactly.
I have no idea who you are.
I think that's so true. I think if Woody Allen passed me on the street today, he wouldn't notice me for a second. But, you know, to me, he was, you know, Woody Allen. But
right.
I was just like a good actress that didn't work out in the play. And that's okay with me, because that's what it means to be fired. For you, it's a much bigger experience. And then, it's up to you later to find a way of turning that around. And I have collected these stories in my book as sort of humor therapy.
Well, we want to tell one of your stories. Joining us now is author and humorist Andy Borowitz. And his story is in your book.
Yes.
He's the creator of the daily online column, The Borowitz Report. You can also hear him from time to time as a commentator on NPR's Weekend Edition Sunday. Thanks for being with us, Andy.
Well, it's great to be here, Lynn.
So tell us about your firing experience, which is included in Annabelle's book.
Well, I've really tried to hide this on my resume for years. But in the 80s, I wrote for the TV show The Facts of Life, which was maybe some of your listeners remember as the sort of coming-of-age saga about four teenage girls at this prep school in Peekskill, New York. And I had mainly known The Facts of Life before I worked on the show. I had just known it to be the worst television show on TV. That was my only understanding of the program. And when I got hired, I was really stunned to find out that the people producing it thought it was Molière. They were not hacks at all. They were giving their all, and they thought this was a little morality tale that they were disseminating across America every week. And being a comedian, I just don't really think in terms of moral lessons that much. I think in terms of making people laugh, and that was really not called for on this particular comedy show. So I just had this experience where I went in and I pitched my first story to the producers, and the women who were producing the show said, "Well, that's a really interesting story, Andy, but what's the fact?" And I said, "Man, apparently every Facts of Life episode had a fact, a moral lesson, that the audience had to take away from them." And I was just grossly unprepared for this assignment. I knew that the seeds of doom had been planted already.
And ultimately, and we're going to have to take a break really shortly, so I don't know if I want you to get into the story yet or tell it when we come back from the break, but ultimately, as I understand it, there was just one character in that show that you just never got right, huh?
That's right. Well, we can talk, you know, it's so painful that I would like to maybe take the break to recover, and then we can get into that. And what a tease for all those Facts of Life fans out there,
okay.
What a character that was.
And they're going to be so excited to know that you were writing those shows for them, Andy. All right, we're going to continue this discussion about being fired when we come back from the break. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary. We're talking about getting fired today on Talk of the Nation. My guests are Annabelle Gurwitch. She is the editor of Fired, Tales of the Canned, Canceled, Downsized, and Dismissed. And Andy Borowitz, humorist, author, and creator of the daily online column, The Borowitz Report. You can join our discussion at 800-989-8255. Andy, let's pick up where we left off. You were writing for a brilliant sitcom, or you were a brilliant writer for a bad sitcom. I don't know which it was.
And no, neither is true. I was the worst writer on the worst sitcom ever. Let's keep my place in history, accurate here.
Okay.
I was writing for The Facts of Life, and I wrote my first script, and the producers really were kind of silent about it, which is never a good sign, by the way, in terms of your employment future. When people start clamming up around you, not good. That's true at Kinko's as well. I mean, just anywhere. They stop talking to you. Not good. So I went up to them and I said, how did you feel about the script? And they said, well, we were disappointed in it. And I said, well, what was wrong with it? And they said, well, you really didn't get Tootie. And Tootie was one of the four characters on the show. And they felt that I made Tootie sound too much like Natalie, who was one of the other four characters. And it was tricky because, to me, all four characters, every line of dialogue they had was sarcastic. So it was the gradations of sarcasm were impossible for me to capture. I just did not have it in me. And so I really, that was the first sign that I was not going to cut it at this job. And the other thing that was true was all year I was haunted by this specter from the past of The Facts of Life, which was that people kept on saying, you know, there was this guy on the show last year, this writer named Paul, and he didn't work out. And, you know, you just don't want to wind up in the same boat as Paul. And I later found out that this guy, Paul, who had been fired the year before, was a writer named Paul Haggis, who went on to write Million Dollar Baby, which won screenplay for Best Oscar last year, and he's been nominated for Best Director and Best Screenplay for Crash this year. But so I understand Paul Haggis also did not get Tootie.
Well, as I understand it, and you both can talk about this a little bit, I mean, in Hollywood, getting fired is really kind of, you know, it's a mark of, it's a mark of success in some ways, it sounds like.
You know what? It's, as it was explained to me, one of the first people who I talked to after I was fired was Felicity Huffman, who, of course, has had so much success now on Desperate Housewives, with Transamerica. You know, when I told her, as I said, saw her as I was sitting crying in the gynecologist's office, and I ran into her. I said, what's wrong, Annabelle? Bad test result? I said, no, I was just fired. She's like, oh, everybody gets fired. It's a badge of honor. You're not in this business until you've gotten fired. And I think that's actually true of so many industries. And so what I thought was, when I compiled these stories, is we are experts in the field of rejection in the entertainment industry. You can learn from us.
Andy, did you go on to better things?
I went on to more successful things. I'll leave it to the audience to determine whether they were better or not. But I guess 6 years after I left the Facts of Life, I created a Will Smith show, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which I guess turned out to be a much bigger success than The Facts of Life, certainly. So I don't want to, it wasn't exactly crash, but I was proud of that accomplishment. But I'm writing for The New Yorker. That's not too bad.
That's good.
Things turned out okay.
All right. Andy, I'm going to say goodbye to you now because we're going to try and get some calls in. And
Have I been fired?
You've been fired from this show.
All right.
Did I do it nicely? I've never fired anyone before.
I guess you're going a different way. Is that it?
Away from you.
We're going in a different direction.
All right. Bye. See you later, Annabelle.
Bye, Andy.
Andy Borowitz is a humorous author, and he is the creator of the daily online column, The Borowitz Report.
One of the things, Lynn, is that I think there's a lot of humility in all the stories. And there's something that Quentin Crisp once said, which is, if at first you don't succeed, failure might just be your style. And I think it's really important. You know, we have the Academy Awards coming up, which is a time when everyone congratulates themselves on that great movie and the great performance and everyone's fantastic. What about the time that you sucked? What about the time when it didn't work out? How did you deal and recover from that? And that's what I got really interested in.
Okay, that's the Sacha Cohen story, I think, that we just saw in the
Olympics. I think so. My heart broke for her.
All right, let's go to Lisa. She's calling from Iowa City, Iowa.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead, Lisa.
Hi. I've got this great story. Years ago when my husband was in medical school and I was working a job that I don't think I was particularly good at, but we needed to work because we had a daughter and we needed the benefits and everything that goes with that, I got fired. And I wasn't terribly surprised by it, but I think, shook up about it. I came home, my husband's at the medical college, and he calls me. And checking to see, I think, what was for dinner. I was crying. I'm hysterical. I lost my job. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? He said, I'll be right home. So he, hung up the phone. And a couple minutes after that, the phone rang. And I answered it. And it was someone offering me the job, pretty much my dream job. So here I am. I can't believe it. And I accept the job. And about 15 minutes later, my husband walks in the door expecting to console me. And here I am, hysterically happy, laughing. I think he thinks I've absolutely lost my mind. and here I was offered a job within about 45 minutes of the time I came home, desperate and crying. And I guess the real irony of this story is that several years later, the person who had fired me those years back ended up applying for a position in the place where I was then working.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Were you in the position of either hiring or not hiring that person?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was.
And did you hire that person?
Well, I didn't give the person very good recommendations, but I really wanted to kind of pull out of that where I would be more of a neutral.
You know, Lisa, I've actually never heard of that quick of a turnaround, but that is pretty amazing, and that has happened to a lot of people in my book. And there's a playwright who has a quote in the book. He says, getting fired is God's way of telling you that you should be doing something else. And clearly, this is what happened to you, but that's like maybe the record-breaking speed of getting the new job. Wow.
I was absolutely thrilled. I think my husband, that moment when he walked in the door and he saw me, I think he was so confused. I could hardly speak. I was, I had all of this going on in this short period of time. I was just overwhelmed.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Lisa.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
All right. And standing by now is Fisher Stevens. His story is also included in Annabelle's book. And he is an actor and producer, probably best known for his roles in Early Edition, Hackers, and Short Circuit. And he joins us on the phone from Los Angeles. Thanks for being with us, Fisher.
You're welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Hey, Fisher.
How are you? I'm sorry I'm not in New York, but the weather, my flight got canceled because the weather's so bad.
Oh, well,
That's okay. Fine. We're doing a reading tonight of stories from the book, and Fisher was going to read, but now we have an opportunity to hear your story, Fisher.
All right. So. Well, Fisher, I think you're included in the section of the book that says Maybe you deserve to be fired. Maybe you can tell us your story. You can save.
And this is probably one of many of my times I deserve to be fired. yeah, my story was about a time when I was doing some serious theater acting in New York and taking myself quite seriously as a thespian. And my manager at the time had been trying to get me to move to Los Angeles to do television, and he got me a guest role on a very hot new sitcom that had just begun, and said that it would fly me to L.A. in first class and put me up at a fancy hotel, and I would just have to do, you know, a sitcom, which I'd never done before. So when I said, well, you know, this is kind of beneath me, but I could use a nice trip to L.A., maybe get a big movie or something very significant with a major director. So I took the job and read the script that they had sent me, and I got to Los Angeles and was greeted by all these happy, smiley people and these young, good-looking actors that were very clicky, and they immediately told me to throw away my script and that the script had completely changed. And I had learned all my lines thinking, you know, this is the script. And I said, well, I can't do this new script. This isn't what I had agreed to. And they're like, this isn't Shakespeare, this is TV. And you know, just you just have to. That's the way we work here. And I guess I was a bit belligerent, and these beautiful young kids on the show were all coming up to me and saying, oh, this is so great to have you, and we admire your work. And I'm like, yeah, well, this is going to kill your career, guys. This is the worst thing for your acting. You know, you got to come to New York and do plays and serious plays. And
trying to convince them to give up this job.
You guys, this is going to be the worst thing for you. This is just crap. And then this was a part where they told me if they liked me that I would keep coming back as a recurring character. So I was like, I don't want to do this. I can't even say these lines. I think they're foolish. And anyway, so I had a kind of fight with the producer, and the other cast members started to kind of look at me like I was some kind of idiot and some kind of pretentious New Yorker. And we ended up doing the show, and I got a lot of laughs, but I just thought I was, you know, it was the stupidest thing I ever did. And the next thing I knew is I'd walk down the streets of New York, and people would recognize me from the show, and all people wanted to talk about was me in this show. And before I knew it, I couldn't even get another job, and the show became very successful. And I called my manager up, and I said, can you get me back on that show? Is there any interest? Because nothing else seems to be working for me. And when the manager called me back, she said, Fisher, I called up the producers, and they said, under no circumstances would Fisher Stevens ever work on Friends again. And now I, you know, that was it. And now I'm working as a busboy in a restaurant in Los Angeles. And I'm waiting on Matthew Perry's table as we speak.
And did you watch it religiously every week for the entire run? And do you watch the reruns now?
No, I don't. It's too painful. I can't even think of the word Friends. I don't even have any friends anymore.
I don't know. I have to say, maybe Annabelle, that's worse than being fired by Woody Allen.
You know, that's the crazy thing is what happened to me was I found people had much better stories than me. You know, it just was like they were so epic. I thought, oh my gosh, I wasn't, you know, written out of the cast of Friends. So, yes, it really helps put in perspective.
Gosh, how does that feel, Fisher, to have somebody say, well, at least I wasn't fired from the cast of Friends?
Yeah, thanks, Annabelle.
You know,
guys, it was pretty bad. And, you know, I learned my lesson and I got very humble. And, you know, I see these guys once in a while and they still look at me with disdain and don't want to have a conversation with me.
But you know what? I think, look, you're having a pretty great career as a film producer now. You're one of the producers on Prairie Home Companion. And I know that you love your career as a producer.
Yeah, no, things are good. Things are good. And I'm believe me, I would try to hire these guys as actors now. Okay. I don't think that's happening either. But no, things are good. And I'm actually, seriously, when I do act, that has humbled me tremendously. And I'm grateful to even get a job now. And I learn, you know, I'll change the lines. I'll do whatever they say at this point.
It can be a really instructive experience, even if it's, you know, a humility or a perspective building. You know, one of the stories is actually from the White House chef who was fired by the Bush family. And he talked about how getting fired from the White House really helped put in perspective what a job meant for him. He said, you know, first of all, he said, never judge how your life by how close you stand to the president. And he said, you know, it was a job. I still have my family, my friends. And it was a very instructive experience for him. So.
All right. Fisher Stevens, thanks so much for being with us.
Guys, thank you very much, and I'll see you on the next hit series.
Okay, great.
I won't get fired from. Take care, Annabelle. Good luck tonight.
Thanks
Fish.
Bye. Fisher Stevens is an actor and producer, and I want to remind you that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Annabelle, we're going to try and get to some callers now who I think have some good stories, too. Let's go first to Xavier in Louisville. Hi, Xavier.
Hey, hi. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Great. I have my story is I graduated high school and joined the military, and I was in the military for 25 years, and I retired. And once I retired, I went and did the same. I was hired by a contract company to do the same job I was doing for 25 years, which I thought was a good thing. After about a year of working there, they came to me with this military inquisition, sat me down, looked at me, and said, "You've been DX'd." And in military terminology, when you get DX'd, that's like the ultimate worst thing that could happen. And, you know, I thought they made a mistake. I said, "You can't DX me because I retired. I'm a civilian now." And they said, "Yeah, well, you civilian, you've just been militarily DX'd."
What does that mean?
Yeah, well, it means it stands for direct exchange. I mean, you kick out something old and get something new.
Wow. Oh, they went in a different direction.
Right, absolutely, went in a different direction. Well, for 25 years, I've only had one job, and then that job, so that was I considered that one job. Well, I'm on for a couple of weeks, and I decided my philosophy in life is never nothing beats a failure but a try, and now I own a commercial mortgage bank, which I fund commercial mortgages worldwide, and I have like 25 employees, and we do about $100 million a year. And so if I hadn't got fired, no telling where I'd be at right about now.
All right. That's great. Thanks so much for calling in. Another story of a firing that ended up working out pretty well for somebody. And let's see if we can get one more call in before we have to go. We're going to take Mark in St. Joseph, Michigan. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I was wondering if your guest or you from your experiences had some advice on how to fire somebody so that it's as painless as possible for the firee as well as for the person doing the firing.
No, my first firing was Andy Borowitz, so I just got rid of him.
I actually do have some advice. Actually, in my book, I interviewed a former human resources director, and he said that, you know, you develop a little lingo for yourself, and his catchphrase became, "as you know." So to soften the blow, what he would say was, "as you know, the company is not doing so well. As you know, profits are down. As you know, we're having to restructure things." So by the time he would get to, "as you know, we're letting you go," they already knew what was coming. And they would sort of be nodding their heads because they knew what was going on. Of course, his advice to people who are actually working people was, when you hear the phrase, "as you know," run. You're about to be fired. But I think you know, if you want to, you know, soften the blow a little bit, you sort of got to work your way into it. I can't believe I'm giving advice to someone about how to fire someone better. Wait a minute. But that is my advice. Also, the other advice is offer them chocolate. Chocolate helps when you've been fired. In fact, I myself carry chocolate around all the time in case I have a random firing that comes my way, and I just pop one in. It really helps.
Question, Lynn, about maybe some examples of just totally the wrong way to let somebody go.
All right. And we have less than a minute to go now. So thanks for your call, Mark. And if you can just quickly tell us, Annabelle, the wrong way to do it.
Gosh, the wrong way to fire someone. Well, I think to show up at their son's bar mitzvah and or to fire them, like one of my stories, to be fired on your honeymoon. Wait till your employee gets back from their honeymoon, or or if they're in the oncology ward of a hospital, you know, try to pick your moments. I think that's pick your venue, pick your moments, and choose your language.
All right, thanks so much for being with us, Annabelle. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you, Lynn.
Annabelle Gurwitch is the editor of Fired, Tales of the Canned, Canceled, Downsized, and Dismissed. When we come back from a short break, we'll look into the face of the Bard with the director of the National Portrait Gallery. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.